Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Been much too warm out there. It's been raining. Looks dreary. It doesn't look like the Festival of Lights whatsoever. It looks like some kind of a science fiction movie where alien mutant, alien clones come to Earth with some horrible virus. Father Wilmer gave a wonderful homily last week in Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility Church. He told people that even though it seems bleak out there, people losing their jobs, people losing their homes, it is during hard times that we are drawn closer together. And when we are closer to the divine and when we feel a bond with other people. Everybody wanted to believe it was true, of course. So they've been thinking about that this week. And then on Tuesday, these two sheriff's deputies' cars pulled up in front of the rectory, and they got out, six big, burly men, two of them carrying shotguns, and they walked up towards the rectory. Of course, everybody in town could see this, and everybody was watching. Father Wilmer came out, and he told them that, as he had explained to the 911 operator, he meant to dial 411, and he dialed 911 by mistake. He was looking for information. He wanted the phone number of the hair salon in Little Falls, where he usually goes for haircuts. These men all looked at him, and there wasn't enough hair to work with there, so a little dubious. They said, "Well, who are you?" He said, "Well, I'm the priest here. I'm Father Wilmer." And they said, "Well, do you have some identification?" "Well, yes," he said. "It's in my billfold. It's upstairs in the bedroom." So they came in with him. Meanwhile, word had reached the volunteer fire department, and Mike down there, the dispatcher, thought he should send up a rescue squad in case, you know, there was somebody wounded. And then rumors came that there was a fire up there. And so the alarm went off, and the pumper drove up to the church, and they didn't see anybody around, and they figured as long as they were there, they might as well unroll the hose and haul it into the sanctuary. And so they did. People saw this all over town, and a crowd started to gather. And there were people holding the fire hose, firemen, Lutherans, who were maybe hoping for a fire, but there wasn't anything. And finally, he found his ID, and he came down, and he tried to explain to people that it's all right. He said, "Fear not, fear not." It takes more than one or two fear nots, though, to calm people in Lake Wobegon who have been brought up to expect the worst. It's all right. He was just looking for information, and instead he got help that he didn't need. And it sort of did draw people a little closer together. It's a time of small disasters, Christmas. The lack of snow being one of them in Minnesota. Rain falling all this week, temperature in the 40s, winter is something we're proud of in Minnesota. And not to have it is embarrassing, you know. Makes us feel invincible, that when other states, they get a little few flakes of snow and school is canceled and we fight our way through blizzards. But you need a blizzard to prove yourself. It's like if there were no traffic congestion in New York, it would be awkward for New Yorkers. What would they do? No, it's a time of small disasters that people meet. Marilyn and Daryl Tollerud, their cousin Nancy, came out from New York City. She flew out and she brought her gift with her. It was a painting. She made it herself. It was 4 feet by 5 feet. It was luminous, might be one word for it. Lurid might be another. Kind of blue and green, was quite hard to make out. They thanked her for it, but not profusely. And then they felt bad about that. They didn't thank her profusely because they didn't like it. It was ugly. But they hung it on their wall, and there it is. Marilyn thinks it's the ugliest thing she's ever seen. Daryl says, "Well, it's not that bad, but what does he know about art? He's never known anything. And what do you do with it now? It's there it is. You just have to deal with it somehow." At the Bunsen home, Arlene and Clarence Bunsen home, their son Dwayne was dancing in the living room with his wife. He'd come up from Dallas, and he got carried away, and he bumped into the table on which Arlene had put those 24 fragile Bavarian glass flowers that her Aunt Gladys gave her many, many years ago, and they all tumbled to the floor and broke every single last one of them. He felt so bad. Arlene felt relief. Aunt Gladys gave her these 25 years ago, and she always made sure that Arlene knew how much they cost and what a big gift this was, and so Arlene has had to dust these things for all these years. And when she heard that crash, she ran in hoping it was what it was. Dwayne was so hurt, he ran upstairs. He wept upstairs from the shame. And Arlene went into the kitchen and she said, "Aha! Aunt Gladys, take that. Rest in peace, but I hope you know about it. Hope you know what happened to her." St. Lucia Day at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church, and all of the young women who are to be confirmed this year dressed up in white gowns with red sashes, and each one of them, all eight of them, each of them had a crown made of pine boughs with candles in, and they marched down the aisle of the church and up front. The Lutherans used to have just one St. Lucia, but the Lutherans don't feel good about elevating one person above other people, so they have eight now with these headdresses, eight of them walking down. And so there were eight sets of parents who watched their daughters pass by with flames up on their heads. Eight parents who could visualize the worst and hope that their daughters had not used hairspray, but knew that they had used hairspray, and they could imagine flames catching their daughter's hair, burning them, having to leap up from their pews and smother the flame. You could see parents who were grabbing hold of their coats, and they were ready to leap up and put them out, just one thing after another. The high school choir went out caroling this last week. Miss Falconer led them from house to house around the town. She warned them to be careful with candles and not to throw hot wax at other carolers. And she warned them that there was not to be any cookies or anything. She had sent two students on ahead to distribute leaflets to all the homes in town, telling them that it's not necessary when the choir comes around to provide cookies for everybody. And there are 50 carolers out there. So they made their way around. As it turned out, the leaflets must have blown away or something, because as they made their way down McKinley Street and then up Maple Street and towards Taft Avenue, at every house they stood and sang. You could see people dashing around inside to try to find a platter big enough for 50 cookies, 50 donuts, something, ginger snaps, something. At every house, people brought out food for them, brought out something to eat, brought out hot cider for them, brought out something for Miss Falconer. It took them practically an hour to go one block, and after they'd gone two blocks, some of the carolers had to find a toilet, and they headed back to school, and there were only about 13 of them after three blocks, and they had eaten so much and drunk so much that they couldn't form the words anymore. So they just hummed. And Miss Falconer walked along beside them. She had had mulled wine at two houses, and she'd had a big glass of Christmas beer at another, and she'd had a rum toddy, and then somebody gave her a shot of aquavit, and then somebody poured her a big glass of brandy. She could no longer remember the second verses of any of the Christmas carols. And hot candle wax was dripped all down the front of her black coat. She looked beautiful, covered with sort of bluish green and white wax, and she was completely, completely happy. May you be as well. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are bad-bad.